Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Joining me at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday is filmmaker Nino Martinez Souza. Nino, welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
It's a real pleasure for me. We're going to be talking about Liborio, which had its world premiere at this year's Tiger competition at the 50th International Film Festival of Rotterdam. And it's a fiction film, really, based on the true story of Papa Liborio. But rather than me saying things that I'm not very familiar with, would you care to maybe tell our listeners who also wouldn't know much about him, who was Papa Liborio?
Well, Liborio was a Dominican peasant, a Dominican farmer, who get lost in a hurricane at the beginning of the 20th century and return to his hometown as a prophet, as a healer, as a faith leader, and begin to create a movement, a community around him that go to the mountains to form this community like autosufficient and to get to themselves. And he found a lot of problems in the history because first the people who own the land doesn't like him and or his followers, and then the Dominican Republic was invaded by the US troops, and Liborio and his movement was cataloged as villains, as bandits. And they were prosecuted, and lately they dissolved the movement. It was a real story, and we made the film not about the history, because history, it's like very hard to find out what history is real and what history. I mean, we have a lot of histories that there's no like the truth. So we try to present a lot of truth in the film, trying to see it not as the hero's journey, but as the community, how the community sees the prophet, this messiah in this messianic movement.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that, how you brought this story to the screen. But just to kind of get a better idea of Liborio and his legacy, is his story a well-known one in the Dominican Republic?
Well, that's one of the problems that we have right now. And that's, I think that's the importance of the film, that Liborio, the people are forgetting about the story of Liborio. I think in the 60s and 70s, there was like a revival of the story because there was this polarization between good and evil, reds and blues and all that. And some people use him as a symbol. But right now, my nephews don't know who Liborio was. And luckily, the movie is trying to do like this, to rememorate the figure of Liborio. In our songs, in our religiosity, popular religiosity, Liborio, it's a present figure. And there are a lot of people who profess some creed that Liborio was someone special. But that's normally old people. Young people don't know who Liborio was. And I think that's important of the film, to try to rediscover the figure and try to recuperate the songs and praise about him, because it's a great part of our culture.
And just to get into it a bit more, why do you feel that Liborio's story and perhaps other stories from the past are being forgotten?
I'm not sure. Maybe because in my country, there is always this fight against the progress and the culture and everything else, right? It's like a lot of people think that only our heritage, it's only from the Europeans, and don't want to see what we have, like from ourselves, from our culture, from the mixture of cultures that we are. I mean, we have in the Caribbean different inputs, We have the Africans, we have the Indians, the Taínos, and of course we have these brotherhoods and from Christianity that came with the Europeans, and all that mixed together and put something different that defines ourselves as Caribbeans. And I think that Liborio it's a part of that. But a lot of people don't like that to get into over the table, and they just want to see a part of our cultures, and maybe a lot of people don't get interested of that themes. But I love anthropological themes. I love to get deep to know the roots of what the people believes, and really I think that Liborio defines very well what we are, not only in the Dominican Republic, but the Caribbean, because you have to know that Liborio made his community near the border of Haiti. It's like in the center of the island that is in the center of the Caribbean. So it's like the belly bottom of the Caribbean Sea. That's where Liborio get birth.
And I guess you mentioned it a bit there, but I'd love to know more. How do you feel Liborio's story resonates to this day? And why do you feel it resonates? Like, what do you feel it has to say for modern times?
I think that right now we're living like in a very selfish way that now, because of COVID and the pandemic and that, we're trying to develop again the community feelings that made us feel like we're not in the bubble, but at the same time we're like locking ourselves in bubbles because we have fears, and of course the fears are there. I mean, we can see it on television each day, right? So I think that Liborio tries to appeal this community feeling that we're something bigger than ourselves, that we are not only defined by our skin, by our body, but that we are something more complex as a society, but also as individuals. We can't live alone right now. And I think the movie tried to follow that path. And that's very important right now. I think that's a universal feeling, and you can translate that to all the cultures. So yeah, I think that right now, 2021, it's very important to think in the about the community feeling, and how can we be better if we're together, seeing to the same place, right?
And so, do you think that Liborio was a revolutionary?
Well, that's a big word. I think that Liborio was a man who get to see in a time where everybody gives the back to the things, he give the front, right? I don't know if revolutionary is the word. Of course, he opposed the invasion of the troops, but he doesn't fight too much, at least. He was more like a leader than a fighter. I don't think that you can catalogize Liborio with only one word. I think that maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. What matters to me is that he's a symbol, of course, and right now he is to me what's more important, it's the way he put together people to be by themselves and trying to be by themselves as one, more than that he opposed this or that government or country. But yes, some people define him as a revolutionary, but that historically it's difficult to prove that. So I'm not sure if I want to define him as that.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, because in the film we do see that he is not a fighter, as you said, but it's almost like violence is inevitable too. I mean, it's almost like by refusing to fight, he is delaying the inevitable, and Liborio himself knows that he is delaying the inevitable, I guess.
Yes. I mean, he was pushed to a place where he has to defend himself, right? yeah, he has to fight. I mean, he can run, but not always. No, it's like the phrase: you can run, but you can hide. Well, that's what happened to Livorio. At some point, he has to face the consequences of his actions, and he faced it, and he paid with his life in real history, and in, of course, in the film also.
Nino, you did mention that this is not necessarily a historical account of his life, and it's a point I wanted to return to. So, was it for you more about capturing the essence of Liborio's life, his philosophy, his spirituality, and so on?
What we try to do is to tell the myth through the eyes of the believers. And Liborio was the main character, but the community was also the main character. So Liborio was like the central axis, was like the sun, the center of this system of planets that are characters that revolve around him and, of course, are modified by this big figure. But we try to see Liborio through the eyes of the people that believe in Liborio. And that was our main goal, to depict that oceanic feeling that make the religions, but not only the religions, that is in a lot of ideas and way of thinking that made us think that we're something bigger, right? And that's what we try. We didn't try to depict a historical truth because there are no one history. There are as many histories as people telling it. And I think that in the movie you can get acquaintance of that because, of course, you can see the different points of views. It was like a portrait of the character, of the main character, Liborio in this case, but like a cubist portrait that made from different angles and from different perspective.
Yeah, right. In other words, the film is divided into 7 episodes and each is seen from the viewpoint of a different character related to the figure of Liborio. And is there a specific reason why it's 7 chapters that the film is essentially split into?
Well, when we begin to write the script, we put there a lot of things happening, archetypical structures, and yeah, there was a reason for that. As I told you, this solar system, I think, of course, this is not something that is over the table, this is not something that is evident, but I think that each character are very likely a planet and the sun. So it's like the 7 days of the week. It's like, I mean, 7, it's a number that it's around us all the time, right? In religiosity, in numerology, astrological. So we use 7 because it was 7, but if I told you there's a reason, specific reason, no, there's no specific reason. It can be 8, it can be 6, but it was 7. So it was the thing that remains there.
Yeah, there certainly is a lot of numerological weight attached to that specific number.
Yeah.
But returning to the community, was there anything that you did while making the movie to sort of achieve that feeling of community within your cast ensemble?
Yes. We tried, not only the cast, also the crew. We tried to do something different in the shooting. I mean, from the beginning, I try to get involved with all the communities, the communities that profess liberalism right now and that are alive in the places where Liborio lived. And I begin to, I mean, it was a work for years to know them and to participate with them in rituals and to get involved with them, with the people who believes that Liborio is still alive and can speak with them through dreams or also through physical contact. And I spend with them a lot of time. And when I get there, always with a camera in front of me, so they get used to the relation with me and the camera. But when I return with with more people because each time I return with now the producer, now the location scout, now the casting and all that, we try to get like together, like to be a community, right? And with the casting, what I do was to work with Vicente Santos, that is the main character, that is the actor who personates Liborio, and he worked in the rehearsal. We didn't rehearse the scenes. We only do like little games where he was our leader because he was the leader of the community, and he played with us a lot of different types of games to get together, but also to lose the fears, to lose the it's like something that in theater they do a lot, like to be more physical, to smell the sweat of the other, and that we try to do it on film, and from that point we begin to improvise, and we improvise a lot, and I try to give them trust so they can get out of their comfort zone and give me something different and something really truth. And give me this truth that the actor can give you sometimes, right? But yeah, that's what we do. And in the shooting, we have a lot of problems because we have a lot of rain. We were shooting in the border of Haiti. There weren't there like good hotels. We don't have their commodities. We have to do a lot of sacrifices with the crew and the actors also. But I think that we get together and that the result, you can see that the people there were happy, right? Like they were shooting with a smile, even if it was raining and you was like full of mud and you have to walk 5 kilometers to the set and all that. We were happy and we were thinking that we were doing something different and we were changing the lives of the people that we were shooting. And that I think that you can feel at least in the film.
Right, I guess I was going to ask you actually whether there were any challenges in filming the vast majority of the film outdoors, but I guess you answered that there.
No, if you want, I can keep on talking because we have a lot of things. I mean, it's like it's my first feature film, and everybody was telling me, "Man, you're crazy! You have a complex script. You have a lot of locations. You have a lot of characters. You have animals. You have children acting. You have gunfights. It's like why?" And yeah, it was a big challenge, but we managed to get to it, right? And the people help a lot. They always do, of course. Cinema, it's a choral art. But I think in this case, what amazed me and likes me is that they are happy. And right now we keep in touch. I mean, we have this WhatsApp group for the crew and they are always there putting things. We are the Liboristas. And we keep on it, right? So
yeah, no, it's funny because it's funny to hear that so many people were saying that, you know, this project was crazy and you were crazy for doing it. Do you feel like you could identify with Liborio just for the simple fact of being a film director?
Well, I think that in the moment that you invoke him, you are a part of him, right? I'm not sure if identifying as myself as. Because that's like too strong. But a part of him talks through me. Yeah, I think so. I think so. And guides me sometimes. And I think that that's the funny of this thing, right? It's like the film, it's not only a film. It's like a ritual of invocation. We're like lighting this candle. We're like saying this prayer and making this ritual to invoke a figure that somebody says he dies, but he's still alive in the head of a lot of people. So the film is also to invoke him, and I'm here, I'm him, No, I'm Nino, and but part of him, it's in me, it's in the photographer, it's in the actor, it's in the wardrobe, it's in the sound recorded. Yes, he is present because we're invoking him, so he is present, changing our lives and changing the set and changing the moods.
Everything is everything, as he would say, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. We're getting running out of time. Of so many questions to ask you, I would ask you, but I have to be mindful of just the time. But I have one final question, which I didn't think of asking you, I guess. But now that after hearing you, I'd love to know outright. Would you say that you are a spiritual and religious person yourself?
Well, I don't define myself as a religious person, but I do as a spiritual person, yes. I have a Catholic education, I have a Catholic family and study at the Catholic school, but right now I don't feel like a religious person, but I do search a lot in the spiritual world, and I read a lot of philosophy and also about holy books and about mysticism. And yes, of course, I define myself as a spiritual man. And I think that it makes us better to think, to define ourselves. Like if you're in art, I think that art has to be a lot with the spirit, right? So you have to, at some point, you have to try to think that reality is something more complex than the way we see it and we describe it. And that's what makes you a spiritual one. So, but I try not to define myself as one thing. I think that I'm in constant change. But yeah, I'm a spiritual man. That's the answer. Yes. And I'm a liberalist too.
Yes, absolutely. Nino, thank you very much for joining us. And it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks to you, Matt, for opening the door to Liborio and to myself. I'm very glad to have this talk with you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.